This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Remember, the quiet ones always have the darkest secrets. It's time to uncover them on Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring former prosecutor and defense attorney Eric Faddis.
Who is the real Ruby Frankie? Was she the mom that was the family vlogger on YouTube with the channel 8 Passengers, who was arrested in August of 23 alongside her business partner, Jody Hildebrandt? Was that the real her before Jody came into her life? Was it the real her once Jody came into her life? And things took a very dramatic, dark turn as the two moved in together and allegations began of a relationship of a sexual nature beyond that of a client and a therapist or counselor or friend or whatever they were pretending to be. So many questions coming out as a new book has been released by Sherry Frankie, Ruby's daughter, a memoir talking about her life, The House of My Mother, A Daughter's Quest for Freedom. Joining me to discuss the new book and the new allegations that have come out in this case, Eric Faddis, defense attorney, former prosecutor. Books out, new documentary coming out on Hulu in February as well, shining light on the case. What was your reaction now to one of the kids who's an adult finally having the courage and the ability to speak out against what she went through with her mom and her dad?
Yeah, a couple of things, Tony. One is that finally it's their time to sort of tell their story. They were allegedly, according to them, kind of forced into going along with this illusion that their mother had created as this motherly influence or parental influence or whatever. And now they get to actually tell their side, their truth. And I think that that can be really liberating and cathartic for any victims. And so finally we're hearing from those folks and just how false this impression that Ruby Frankie created on social media was.
One of the big things that Sherry is advocating for with the release of this book is restrictions on family vlogging and what can be allowed to put out there. Right now, it's pretty much in the hands of any parent to judge the consent of their minor and say, yes, I'm consenting that you can be on camera because I am the person who makes that choice. Just like a parent could consent if a child's going to be participating in a professional production of a TV show or something of that nature, except the producer is in-house in people's worlds now as we have the world of YouTube and vlogging. What's your thoughts on that? Should there be more restrictions on this? And how do you police something like that with so many people out there and putting their kids on camera before they're even really old enough to understand the ramifications of that content, good or bad?
You know, this touches on an issue that's happened throughout history in the legal field. And that's, you know, there is some emerging trend that we haven't seen before. And then the law tries to catch up. That's kind of where we're at now. We're you know, reality shows first and then social media after that. There was a show regarding pageant moms and they all consented to having their, you know, children who were between 4 and 11 or something on those programs. And sometimes that had an exploitative feel to it, may have caused some damage to those kids. And so should we let these parents just consent to, waiving their child's rights, essentially, especially when it's for their own benefit, the parents' benefit? That's a very important question. I don't know what the restrictions would look like. Their free speech concerns, too.
That definitely. And just also, I mean, I get the argument in both ways. If what's being presented is healthy and not exploitive, But then you got to try and say, where is the bar? What exactly is exploitive? Because that can be very different for different people, depending on how they're looking at it. I know the sister of Ruby Frankie has spoken out on her own family vlog channel, disagreeing with Sherry's stance on this, saying, look, we're doing this responsibly. It's pulling in a lot of money for us, and we are paying our children. We're putting it into a retirement fund for them right now, into college funds. So they're going to have the resources they need when they become adults. And that's good. I think that's a wonderful idea. My daughter actually participates on a different podcast we have about ghost stories and has been doing it since she was a little kid. And I've always paid her, and I've been putting that into a retirement fund or a college fund for her that she'll have access to when she turns 18. And again, it's an environment where it's not being super exploitive. She enjoys doing it. She's having fun. And there's nothing crazy, you know, going on like this where you're going and examining and breaking down every aspect of a child's life and putting it out there for people to judge. But I guess where is that line? What is exploitive? What is not? You have TV shows that do it. You have parents that do it online. Where would the line be?
You know, if there is a line, that raises the question of who decides where that line is. And perhaps that they take a page from the legal industry, whereby when there's a child in a similar sort of precarious situation, they'll appoint what's called a guardian ad litem, who is assigned to look out for the best interests of that child and who is detached and independent from the legal controversy going on. Is there some solution where we appoint to these children some kind of agent, some kind of neutral, impartial adult who would look at things and I guess hopefully use their best judgment in saying, hey, yes, this is permissible. It's not doing damage to the kid. Whereas this is likely to do damage to the kid. It's not permissible. Perhaps there's some sort of third party actor that we institute.
And that seems realistic to me if you're producing a show like John and Kate Plus 8 or something where people have a production budget and things of that nature. A lot of times family vloggers, until they've made it big and until they actually have a following and the damage is usually done by then, would anyone even, I think, have the funds in most cases to do such a thing, you know, or to have the resources or even to have that out there for that as being an option? Obviously, we have a hard enough time even, you know, policing our child welfare system, more or less having a police for the family vlogging industry. So great idea, but probably not likely one that would ever truly be instituted.
Yeah, I worry that, like, just the concerns you just mentioned, you know, at a high level, certainly production networks could look out for something like that. But gosh, the mom and pop vlog that's going on, there's not going to be any funding for that. And so what is the solution? Is there some responsibility on behalf of the platforms to at least do a base or have a basic awareness of what's being put on their platforms and whether there is any substantial harm to children that's happening? You know, that's why Facebook can't post child porn on Facebook, stuff like that. And so is there some responsibility on behalf of those platforms? That's something to inquire about.
And then what is exploitation? Is it, you know, mom posting a picture of the 6-month-old in the bathtub? Is it mom taking embarrassing pictures of the kids, you know, when they are in their teen phase and don't want to be seen? Is it just family photos of a happy time? Is it full-fledged, I'm making a video production of my life with my kids? There's so many areas that are questionable. I know one of the social media companies is trying to enforce not allowing minors onto their platform, doing facial recognition, or at least attempting to do facial recognition to keep minors off the platform itself. Of course, there's ways around that. You just put a picture up of something that's not you, and you can get in. There'll always be a back door to doing these sort of things. But I just wonder if more can be done or more should be done, or if ultimately this is not the responsibility of the platforms, of the companies. It goes back down to parental responsibility, which unfortunately there doesn't seem to be a lot of.
Yeah, I'm with you, Tony. That's surely where it starts. And that is the most important component to all of this, is parents being responsible, making good decisions that are not just decisions that serve them, the parents, but really taking into consideration what is happening with the children. Because some of these possible regulatory measures from the platforms themselves have privacy concerns too. I know there was recently like 19 states require for pornography that you show your identification, that they like save it and log it. And so there are privacy issues. As we try to make things safer, we got to make sure we're not making things too intrusive. And it's sort of that age-old balance between safety and privacy.
It's a question I don't think we're going to have the answer to anytime soon, until a lot more damage is done and somebody finally says, we must do something about this, if we ever do.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're neck deep in a dark, twisted tale. And just as the tension peaks, bam, a commercial about some miracle diet pill breaks the spell. It's like finding a fly in your soup after the first bite. But here's the fix. True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. You get to enjoy your crime stories without the junk, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that go beyond the surface, and early access to all the gruesome details. It's like swapping out a can of cheap beer for a glass of fine whiskey. So search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and keep the darkness flowing uninterrupted.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.